God, Lord, that thou would be with us. Help us to understand thy word.
Lord, digest what you have given to us, O Lord, this day. We thank you once again for everything. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Today we'll continue with the study on the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you to Nathan and the others that helped to get these lights up. So I do have this revelation, the book of Revelation. And I will just review chapter 1 that we finished last Sunday. And then I will go on to chapter 2 today and maybe even a little bit of chapter 3. So chapter 1, as we review chapter 1, I'm just going through some of the slides that I have and reading Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto his servants things which shortly must come to pass. This is our Lord Jesus Christ, the picture of our Lord, and it is the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the book of Revelation, sometimes we knowingly or unknowingly say the book of Revelations in the plural. It is not that. It is the book of Revelation, singular, because it is the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is just a pencil drawing where it shows that it all started at the cross. But it shows that it all started at the cross. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, and he rose on the third day, which he resurrected, and then he lived on this earth for 40 days. And then, after 40 days, he ascended up to heaven. You see, and he told his disciples to stay in Jerusalem. And we see that 10 days after his ascension, the Holy Spirit came. And on the day of Pentecost, the church was formed. And the church is still here on this earth. And what we see is the Holy Spirit comes down. We see that the disciples are in the disciples. And the church is formed, and then we see in chapters 2 and 3 the church on earth. We see the seven churches. We will start on chapter 2 today, and then we find that at the end of chapter 3, the church is taken up or snatched up into heaven, which also we call as the rapture. And then at the same time, we find the Great Tribulation starts. We see the starting of that in chapter 6 to chapter 18. And then in chapter 19, we see the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He comes down into this earth. He puts his enemies under his feet and uses that as his footstool. And then the thousand-year reign of Christ starts, which we read that in chapter 20. And then at the end of the thousand years, we see that the dead that is not in Christ, the wicked, are raised up here at the end of the thousand-year reign, and then they stand before the great white throne judgment. The book is open, and none of those are found in the book of life. They are thrown into the lake of fire. And then we see that chapter 21 and chapter 22 talks about eternity, which we will go to that area. These are the steps of the revelation. Chapter 1, verse 1, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ was given by God to his son, Jesus Christ, and then he gives it to his angel to give it to John, and then John to the servants. We are so fortunate that we can study the book of Revelation, the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to verse number 3, it says, blessed, Blessed is he, that means this is one of the Beatitudes. Blessed is he that speaketh or readeth. Blessed is he that heareth. And blessed is he that keepeth the words of our Lord. And they are blessed. That means they are happy. Joyous are those. And so there are seven Beatitudes in the book of Revelation. And those are listed in this chart over here. And then here we see John to the seven churches. We did that last time, last Sunday, but I just want to show you the importance of seven in scriptures. And we see that here, seven speaks of that which is complete, and seven has to do with God's covenant with dealing with Israel. We went through this also last Sunday about Jericho. It was compassed about seven times. Naaman was instructed to dip in the River Jordan seven times, and there were 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine during the time of Joseph's reign. We also see that Nebuchadnezzar, he was insane for 7 years, and a number of things that number seven is so very important. We talked about the seven spirits of God that we see in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. We see the spirit of the Lord, spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and spirit of the fear of the Lord. This is a picture, what a beautiful picture of a dove signifying the Holy Spirit. And then we go to verse number 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Who are the ones that pierced him? The Jews. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. I'm showing this just to impress upon the fact that it is possible today for every eye to see him because of all the satellites, because of the knowledge that God had given man. See, man sometimes do not acknowledge that it was God that's giving man the power to understand and to do things like this. And I've got a better picture of a satellite. What a beautiful picture this is. And it is because of these satellites that we can see the Lord coming to the earth the second time. You see, there is, as we hear of a president talking about the Space Force, why it is so very important, because there are several nations that have their satellites up in space, and there can be some competition, and there can be some retaliation against some others, and so they probably will soon have the Space Force active. And here what they have to do is they are monitoring these satellites 24/7, because there are meteorites and asteroids and other debris that is falling to the earth and falling, and they have to move these satellites away from that from those asteroids and those debris. And so 24/7, there's a group of people that mans these satellites and keep us, gives us the GPS that we have and all others. And then we went to verse 8. Just want to go back and talk about verse 8. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Just want to show you, this is the Greek alphabet. You see Alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabets, and Omega, the last. And it is with these alphabets that we make words. And Jesus is the Word of God. Isn't this amazing what we have? And here we see the picture of John. John is sitting on those rocks on the left-hand side of the picture. This is the agency. He's sitting there. He's been exiled there. As I mentioned, he's exiled there for a reason, for the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the Word of God. Why? Because there was a man there, not a man, but more of a man, an emperor of Rome, which is Domitian. This picture that I have here, he was the one that exiled John to the Isle of Patmos, which is a Greek island. Why did he do that? Because John was preaching the word of God. That because John was a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the emperor Domitian and quite a few other emperors did not like that because the Caesar family claimed themselves to be God with a small g. And so anyone else that spoke about a God, and especially a living God, they did not have anything to do with them, and so exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. And as we looked at, that was a large quarry, and with those rocks that they had over there, if you see those rocks besides where Apostle John is sitting, they broke those rocks and they built all the roads. All roads lead to Rome. And so that's what we see. Now we have here the picture of Patmos, which is the island in the Aegean Sea. And these are the seven churches: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And it is to these seven churches that John, Apostle John, is writing writing this book, because he was ordered to write that book. And here it says those books. And then we see that in verse 12, John heard a voice and he turned to see that voice. And that voice was someone that he saw standing in the midst of seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of God. And then it describes the person that he saw. And here we do have a picture of the glorified Christ. And I'm sure this picture does not do justice to our glorified Christ. However, it is just for our understanding and learning. We see he has a long robe up to his feet. We see that he has this girdle along the paps or around the paps, which is the chest or the breast area. And then we find that his hair and head is white as snow, signifying purity and wisdom. And his eyes is a flame of fire, which is not very clear here. And his mouth, look at the mouth. This is the double-edged sword, two-edged sword. And then in his right hand, he has the seven stars. And then his feet as brass, as burning brass, indicating judgment. And he's standing around the seven golden candlesticks, and it teaches us and tells us the seven golden candlesticks is the seven churches, and the seven seven stars are the seven angels to the seven churches. And let me go forward. I told you that I will mention a little bit about hell and death, as we see that in verse number 18, in verse 18 of chapter 1, he says, the end of chapter 17, fear not. Jesus tells Apostle John, fear not. Why? And he gives four reasons. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys to hell and death. So here we see the three different types of death that I've put here. Physical death is something that we all know. When we die, we are buried from dust to dust. Spiritual death is an example. Is Adam, when he sinned, what did God say? The day thou sinnest, thou shalt surely die. We don't see that Adam had a physical death, but he had a spiritual death where his communion with God and his walk with God was ended. Eternal death is also known as a second death, which is eternally dead when you are thrown into the lake of fire. I just want to impress upon the fact that when we die, of course, our body goes to the grave from dust to dust. However, our spirit, as we look at the spirit and our soul, there's something else that happens there. So we look at that, and I've classified into two. One, for those that died before the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, our body goes to the grave. So also after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our body goes to the grave. However, before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Spirit goes for those that are that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or believed in God. They go to paradise or to Abraham's bosom. And then those that are non-believers or do not have anything to do with God, they go to a place of torment. So we see that both of these two, the paradise and torment, both of them comprise the term called Hades. Hades is the unseen spirit world. And that is where both those that are believers, they go to paradise or to Abraham's bosom, and then the others go to torment. Although the term is the same, there is a wide gap between these two. How do we know that? We know that because with the story that we hear about Lazarus and the rich man, and when the rich man looks up and he sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and he cries out for help at that time. So we see Hades is comprised of both of these, paradise, otherwise also known as Abraham's bosom, and the second is the place of torment. This is where those that have nothing to do with God goes, or the wicked goes to the place of torment. However, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know that Jesus Christ, when he was crucified, he went to Hades, and we see that he went to Hades and he emptied that Hades. There, the souls that were there that believed in God, and took him up to paradise in heaven. So now, when we die, what happens? This is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The body goes down to the grave again, and the spirit, for believers, they go up to paradise in heaven, and the non-believer goes to the place of torment, where these are raised, these souls are raised up and the body is raised, at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, they will go to the day of judgment, stand at the great white throne judgment, and the books are open, and if their names are not found in the book of life, they will be thrown into the lake of fire. Now, we also, when we read the scriptures and read, there are several terms that we read in there, and so the word Hades and Sheol, S-H-E-O-L, they both mean the same thing. That is the two compartments that we looked at, and these are the temporary holding place for the saved, and the other one is for those, the wicked. Now, the lake of fire and hell is the final resting place for the wicked. They both are synonymous, those both words. Now, there are other words that are used in the Bible: Tartarus, Abyss, bottomless pit, the deep. These are all the same as Hades. Hades is the word that is used in the Greek, and Sheol is in the Hebrew. So let us move on. And then in verse number 9, it says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. What are the things that John has just seen? He has seen the glorified Christ. He has seen the glorified Christ, and we see that in chapter 1, he's writing about the glorified Christ. And the things which are, is in chapter 2 and 3, the things which are on this earth, and the things which shall be hereafter is the chapters after that. And then we have seen this. I guess it needs a little time to go on. Okay, so let us move on to chapter 2, and this is just what we have studied last last week. And looking at chapter 2, before I teach the and go through chapter 2 and chapter 3, I need to mention something that is important for us as we learn about the churches. And I have written it this way. The seven churches that are described in chapter 2 and chapter 3 are actually literal churches during the time Apostle John is writing to those churches. Though they were literal churches at that time, there's also spiritual significance with the literal believers today. We learn from what was taught to these members at these seven churches. The first purpose of the letter was to communicate with the literal churches and meet their needs at that time. The second purpose, of course, is to reveal seven different types of individuals, seven different types of churches throughout history, and instruct them in God's truth. The third purpose could be, and it is used to use the seven churches to foreshadow seven different periods in the history of the church. And so the problem with this view is that each of these seven churches describes issues that could fit the church at any time in history. With that mention, I'd like to go ahead and start chapter 2. Now, when we study the churches, I like to break this down into a few different aspects as we see with these seven churches. Number one, we see that Jesus Christ, the glorified Christ, the picture that I have there, he introduces himself and tells the churches who he is. Like, for example, to the church in Ephesus, he says, "He that holdeth the seven stars in the midst and walketh, and he who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Who is the one that holdeth the seven stars and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks? Of course, it is the glorified Christ. It is Jesus that is walking there. So he introduces to each of the churches, and we see that. He commends these churches. And thirdly, he condemns some of the churches. The only two churches that he does not condemn is the church at Smyrna, which is a suffering church, and the Philadelphia church, the church which is of brotherly love. And then, although he condemns them, he graciously gives them a remedy. He gives them a remedy. And just like all of us, when we are in school, college, in work, we like to be rewarded and for the work we do, for the things that we produce. And God, our Lord Jesus Christ here, rewards for the overcomers. Who are the overcomers? The overcomers are those that have the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that believe that Jesus died for our sins and he was buried and he rose again. Those are the overcomers. And then he says, repent. He says, repent for each of those churches. So if we go to the first church, the church at Ephesus, which is also known as the Apostolic Church, and for the period of time that is given us from the day of Pentecost up to 100 AD, the church of Pentecost. And in all of these churches, he says, I know your works. Why and how? How does Jesus know the works of the churches? Because what do we see? He is walking. He is inspecting these churches as much as we may not like somebody inspecting our lives and our work. Here, Jesus is inspecting each of these churches and all the churches that are there and has been there ever since. And he tells them, and in Ephesus, he says, you have tried them. Who? You have tried them that are saying that they are apostles. This is through the church in Ephesus. And you have found them to be liars. There are many people, as we just heard our brother speak at the Word Ministry time, there are many people that were going to different churches and teaching them false things and false philosophies and false truth about our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that. And he said, you have hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Who are the Nicolaitans? You know, when we look at the Nicolaitans, the term is not very well understood. However, there's an understanding that Nicolaitans is come from the man Nicholas, who we read that in Acts chapter 6, verse 5. And he was one of the deacons there, and he was a proselyte. A proselyte is someone who is not a Jew, who is a Gentile, that accepts Judaism and then believes their faith. But apparently, this man, Nicholas, he became apostate, he threw away the belief, and he went about doing the things that were not right. So what does Nicolaitans mean? How did that word derive and the meaning of that word? Nicolaitans means to conquer. And latins or laity is the common man. So what were they doing? They were trying to conquer the common man. Is that going on today? I very much think so. There are people even today that is going around and teaching false things. Again, our brother did mention about the things that are going on in different institutions today, universities, colleges, churches. That is going on. So Jesus says, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And then the condemnation he gives the church at Ephesus is, thou hast left thy first love. You know, when you look at that saying, Jesus is telling to the church at that time, thou hast left thy first love. You know, from the time the church was instituted on the day of Pentecost, people were so excited about the things of God, about our Lord Jesus Christ. They were going from house to house, ministering to people, talking about the word of God, praying, breaking bread, all of those things. But as the years passed, what happened? The love for God, the actions for God, the work for God has slowly started decreasing. And God realized, and our Lord Jesus Christ realized and saw that their love for the Lord was decreasing. And he says, thou hast left thy first love. That's a very sad thing. And then what does he say? Repent. He says, repent. That means to be sorry for what has happened to you, to feel and to express sincere regret for something that you've done or for your sins. And that's what it means. But most so, I like this word, repent means turn around. The path that you're on is not the right path. Turn around and come back to the right path. That's what Jesus is telling us. You see, even for us, each day of our lives, we got to make sure that our life is perfect in the will of God, that we are doing the right thing. But sometimes we say, well, I just can't help it. But our Holy Spirit is there to help us. And so we need to do as much as we can to turn around, leave that sinful life that we are leading and come back to Christ. And then he says, I've got a reward for those that turns around. I have a reward for those that overcome. And what is the reward? And he says, I will give to eat of the tree of life. You have heard in Genesis that there was a tree of life, and those that ate that tree, they kept living. And that signifies eternal life. And he's promising us eternal life here in for the church at Ephesus. Let me just move to the church of Smyrna. It's also known as the martyr church or the suffering church. The period of time, AD 100 to AD about 315. And again, he says, I know thy works. I know what you're doing. You know, that is one of the churches that did not have any condemnation. The other church was the Philadelphia church. But all others, there was some condemnation. He said, I know thy works and the tribulation and the poverty, but you are rich. He says, you are rich. Is he talking about richness as we consider richness in the terms of the greenback, the dollars? No, he's talking about the grace, the mercy, the happiness, the joy, and all of those things. That's what he's saying. You are rich. you are rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say that they are Jews, but they are the synagogue of Satan's. You know what it is? If you look into the book of Romans, it says, who are the Israelites? Who are they? For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. You see, many came to Christ. The Jews at the time when Jesus, after Jesus' resurrection, many came to Christ. But there were still a lot of the Jews that did not follow Christ. And so not all that we talk that are of Israel is Israel. And that's what he's saying. I know, and he says, I know the tribulation. I know that you will be put in jail. I know that you will have tribulation for 10 days. And that signifies probably or possibly the 10 emperors that ruled the Roman Empire of that time, of which Diocletian was, I'm told, as the worst of which. And then here we don't see the word repent because he's not finding any condemnation for the people in Smyrna, the church at Smyrna. But he gives them, he says, for those that overcome, he will give them the crown of life. To whom is the crown of life given? For those that are martyred. It is the crown of life. We know that there are a total of 5 crowns. It is, you know, you may tell me it's so difficult to remember all of these things, and I agree with you. It is really difficult to remember so many things, no matter where it is. If you're in college, yes. If you're in medical school, there's so many things you have to remember, right? Because they ask you, and you have to tell them, right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so I got a mnemonic for this, to remember the 5 crowns, and I've put it as rejoicing girl, G-I-R-L-L. You know, the crown of rejoicing, G, crown of glory, I, incorruptible crown, R, crown of righteousness, and L, crown of life. Easy to remember, but you just got to put what that is for to the names and the crowns that is given. We will be given those crowns. That's the reward that comes to us. I'll be working for those crowns. It is the crowns that are given to us is not crowns to be taken and kept in the space that we have in New Jerusalem. No, it is to place at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Master, the living God. You know, he is there, they are there, and we place it at their feet to thank them for what they have done for us, for the work that our Lord Jesus Christ did upon the cross of Calvary. So I will stop here, which is the two churches, Ephesus, which is the apostolic church, and the Smyrna, church at Smyrna, which is the suffering or the martyr church. And so we have 5 other churches. Maybe we could continue that next Sunday. And the emphasis that I want to place is the part that Jesus says, repent, and then he gives us the rewards. So we see 2 things here. Let me just finish this off. He says, I will give you the crown of life, and then he also says, you will not be hurt of the second death. That is extremely important. What is the second death? If there is a first death, there is a second death. First death is one that we will go through. I'm hoping that we don't. If the rapture happens, we don't have to go through that. If it does, it is when our body is put to the grave and we die. The second death is one which happens at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, when those that were buried, that were wicked, that did not believe in God or the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be raised up. They will be raised up and they will stand before the great white throne judgment. And there, the books will be opened. And when their names are not found in the book of life, they will be thrown into the lake of fire. And that is a permanent second death. And that's what it is. So we already see 3 rewards here. I will give to eat of the tree of life. I will give you the crown of life, and you will be not hurt of your second death. I encourage you to read the rest of the churches. We will go through and we'll try to finish the rest of the churches next Sunday. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and blessings. Thank you that we can open the Word of God and learn the revelation of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that as we look at these churches and the rewards and what you're telling us about repent, to turn around, to confess our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray that if there be anyone here that do not know Jesus as a Savior, Lord, that they will give their life to thee. Father, thank you for this day, and pray that as we return back to our homes, be with us, take care of us, O Lord, and bring us back to the at the next appointed time. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.